I want to see Jesus lifted high. Today we want to talk about where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? Learning how to identify where Jesus is in the modern world. The purpose of this message is this: to raise awareness to what to look for when searching for Jesus in our changing world. How many of you agree it's a changing world, right? You know, I'm watching stories about the hurricane, and there's so many stories about how the principles of Christ are at work down in Houston. And all those fantastic churches and so many Christians down there, so many really spiritual Christians too, that's super cool. And to watch them mobilize and do the work of the Lord, we're going to be okay. Amen. It's some rain, but we're going to be okay. And I watched one young lady who was sharing, because she had been a believer for about 5 years, and she was with the guy on the news, and it plays into what we're talking about right now, how to find Jesus. And sometimes we as Christians, we have Jesus in our heart, but we have days where we're hard-pressed to see where Jesus is, or we just don't know where to look for him. And she was sharing, and she was just crying, and she had talked about, I've been a Christian so long, and sometimes I was a bit confused about what a Christian really was, but now I know. People came with a jet ski, rescued me and my children out of my home. Now I know. She said there was a person that came and gave her food and helped her out. She says, now I know what Christianity is. And she said, for the first 5 years as a Christian, I didn't really know. But she said to the reporter while crying and praising God. It was really cool. She's crying and said, oh, thank you, Jesus. In between everything I'm saying, she'd say, thank you, Jesus. How about you say thank you, Jesus, right on? Right on. You know what? You want to be more grateful? In your mind, feel like you're going through something and God's delivering you from a hurricane. Amen? And say thank you, Jesus, a lot of times. You'll feel a lot better. Amen. But she thanked God, and she was so grateful to see the Lord in action. See, intelligence is not simply knowing every answer, but it's knowing how to find it. True intelligence knows how to look for something or knows where to look for it. The greatest enemy of knowledge is not ignorance. It's the illusion of knowledge is what Stephen Hawking says. And the reality is this. As believers, we want to avoid the dangerous illusion of knowledge. Anyone ever dealt with a Christian that had an illusion of knowledge? Right. It's a bummer, isn't it? Folks get hurt when that happens. So we as Christians need to be childlike and humble ourselves and be teachable and allow God to add things to us that are truth and not speculation. Someone say amen. For the Bible teaches that personal change starts with the truth. And the truth will do what? It will set you free. The truth will set you free first, but it will first make you miserable, is what President Garfield said, which is really ironic. How many know who President Garfield is? He was the second assassinated president. In 1881, when he became president, a man said, his name was Gateau, was his last name, but this man said that God told him that in order to balance the party and change politics in America, he needed to die. He was going to be the sacrifice. So this guy waited in a train station, and he reenacted it over and over again, rehearsed it, and then when President Garfield got out, he took the shots at him. President Garfield lingered for about 40 or 50 days, but because we were ignorant about certain bacteria, they did things in his body that accelerated his death. With the proper medical knowledge, President Garfield might have lived. And so now, here's a man that's saying, the truth will set you free, but it will first make you miserable. And that's really true. Sometimes, Christians particularly, you may hear some things from this pulpit make you go, ooh, really? But trust me, I'm very careful about what I say to you on a Sunday morning. I take very good care of making sure that I speak what the word of the Lord is trying to communicate. Amen? So wise men still seek him. The wise men came seeking Jesus. They said, and they used their money and their wisdom, said, where is he born, the King of the Jews? True wisdom will always seek Jesus. We'll always look for Jesus. We'll look for his presence. We'll look for his word. We'll look for his influence. How many know what Jesus' influence in the world? Can you identify it? Amen. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teachings because he taught as one who had authority and not as one of the teachers of the law. He taught as someone who actually had a relationship with God and with the world around him. Someone say amen. So let us fix our eyes on Jesus this morning, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Let's stand on our feet and let's read the word. Are you ready? So I'm ready, Pastor. Talk to me. Talk to me. I'm feeling kind of lonely up here. Right on. Let's read John 14, 9 through 10. Here we go. Jesus says, I have been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Amen. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or at least believe what the works I have been doing say about me. And that's with the young lady being interviewed. She wasn't sure about who Jesus was. But after she went through a hurricane and had other believers and people that were not believers help her out, she knew that's who Jesus is. I will know them by their works. Someone say amen to that. He said, greater things you will do than me. Whosoever believes in me will do works that I've been doing, and they will do even greater works. They'll feed even more people. They'll heal even more people. Think of all the things that Jesus did, and look around you today and see how much is being done. The world is even doing greater things that Jesus did, and that's just mathematically clear. He's one guy. We're millions of them. We can do so much more. Say, Lord, we are able to do so much more. C.S. Lewis said this, I believe in Christ like I believe in the sun. Not because I can see it, but by it I can see everything else. Look around you and see everybody else. Amen. Let us declare the miracle of abundant life. Lord, I now relinquish all. What? And what do we do? And I choose the miracle. Let's lift our hands and pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Give God a praise offering as you're sitting down. He's awesome. Quick recap from last week is this. We were talking about the 10 characteristics of humility. And we covered part of number 10 last week that was a main characteristic of humility is to have a servant's heart. And along with his death on the cross, a servant's heart is one of the most identifiable characteristics of Jesus. How many know that to be true? He made a very strong point about understanding how important it is that service identify him. That's why the lady on the news could say, now I know someone served me. Now I know there's a Christ. Someone served me. Someone say amen to that. Everybody say it loud. Are you ready? Nobody has changed the world the way Jesus has. Say it. Nobody. Right on. For Jesus had a service model. We're just talking about his service aspects. He had a service model that literally can save the world. So when he tells you the story about washing their feet, he's setting an order in motion in the world, a pattern and a principle that would transform the world, that will allow you to sit in this room as free people. You are free people today because Jesus told powerful people that your responsibility in this earth is to serve. And the greater your power, the greater your service. For too much is given, much is what? Required. So the reason why you are so healthy, wealthy, and wise today, riding around in automobiles, having jobs, having opportunities, living free, is because Jesus set forth a principle of servitude to power. And now because we wash one another's feet, we are able to prosper as a society. We are able to prosper as humanity. Amen? Everybody say, hi, can I serve you? Hi, can I serve you? Imagine Jesus is at a table, because that's what he was imagining. He was at the table where he's about to have his last supper with his disciples. And he says to them, for the greater one who reclines at the table is the greater one. In other words, when I go to the restaurant, I'm going to pay the bill, so I'm the greater one. And this guy is here to serve me because in that situation, he is the lesser one. But then Jesus turned it upside down and said, but even though I recline here, Jesus said, here I am among you as one who serves. And what I want you to imagine that waiter giving his bow tie and his apron and everything to Jesus. And Jesus said, dude, take a rest. I'm going to feed you. I'm here to serve you. The greater one is here to serve. Say, I am the greater one, and I am here to serve. Say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. How many understood that? If you understand that, say amen. Praise the Lord. Can you get a visual? Can you get inside your heart this morning that you are blessed beyond imagination? Even in your most desperate state, no matter how diseased I was last year, I realized to be diseased right now was the most blessed thing that could ever happen to me. Someone say amen. And this is what you must do every day. Take inventory of the good that is around you and declare that Jesus is Lord. There was an old song that they used to sing, count your blessings, name them one by one. You would be surprised what the Lord has already done. Somebody say, he's already been good to me. Right on, he's already been good to me. For over 2,000 years, Jesus influenced the world to prioritize health and education. Say it with me, health and education. Matthew, John the Baptist is wondering whether Jesus is the Messiah or should he wait for another. So he sends his disciples to check him out. And they show up and say, hey, Jesus, because John's in prison, he's not having a very good day. Not sure where everything's going. When you're having a bad day, how many think irregularly when you have a bad day? John, no different than the rest of us. I'm having a bad day. I think some really weird things. But his grace is sufficient for me. Having a real bad day, and he makes a really poor decision. It is a poor decision for him to send his disciples and openly ask Jesus, are you the Messiah? I mean, Jesus got people that want to stone him every time he leaves the house. How many are still here? The only thing that's keeping them many times from hurting Jesus is the idea that he might be the Messiah. I don't want to be stoning the Messiah. But I mean, you know, by the time we get about 3.5 years in, they summon the courage between government, religion, and all of them come together and summon the courage to do what we celebrate, the Eucharist. They summon the courage to crucify him anyway. How many are still here? That's what that table is all about, to remind you that Jesus came to change a world that was so evil, more evil then than it is now, that the nicest guy that could ever live, that never hurt anybody, they would find a way to harm him. Right now, I go to schools and I see homecoming. I remember a homecoming at Park High. Our kids are so much better than us. I was at a homecoming at Park High School where the homecoming king was a kid that had Down syndrome. How many are still here? And one of my friends remarked to me, he says, you know, when we were in high school, John, I had guys that make fun of that kid. He's ostracized, alienated, and put outside. But because of the principles of Jesus that are living in our young people, guess what? They're doing better things, greater things than us. Amen. I watched a football game at Southern Cal. I watched the end of the game. But I watched because there was a blind boy that had become part of the team. And they had did some surgeries, and his blindness had been reduced, but he still was legally blind. But now he's 18 years old. He's a grown man. And in a Southern Cal team allow him to practice and do long snapping. Everybody know what long snapping is? So he practiced long snapping. And in the middle of a college football game on television, they brought this kid in as part of the team, and they let him long snap and let the guy kick the field goal, a blind kid. They let him be part of it, even though he didn't have all the attributes to be part of it. Because of their love, they accepted them. Everybody say, because of love, he accepts me. The Bible says he declares that you are righteous, not because of the things that you've done. You're not good enough to be righteous, but because he loves you, he dangles the carrot out there, say, but I know who you're becoming, and I declare that you are righteous. I declare you're complete in Jesus' name. Let the church say amen. So they come and they say, hey, Jesus, are you the one or should we wait for another? Jesus didn't talk. And that's something you should learn to do. When someone asks you a question that throws you a little bit, just take your time. Keep doing what you know. And Jesus keeps doing what he knows. He keeps healing and praying and teaching. Healing, praying, and teaching. Say it with me. Healing, praying, and teaching. Do it like the Cowardly Lion and Dorothy. Lions, tigers, and bears, right? Healing, praying, and teaching. Oh, God, amen. And he keeps doing it. And finally, you know, the disciples watch him do it. They watch him doing what he knows how to do. Then he looked up, and then Jesus said, tell John, maybe. Maybe he had a tenor voice. Tell John. He may have. He didn't have to have a bass voice. But tell John that what? Say it with me. Say it loud. And you know what he added to that? Just kind of a stinger to John. He said, and blessed are those that are not offended by that. I'm sorry that feeding the poor and helping the need and taking care of the most desperate in our culture doesn't mean that I'm the Messiah. I'm sorry that doesn't measure up for you. But here's the deal. Jesus ain't lost ground in 2,000 years. Someone say amen. We're healthier, we're more blessed than ever because of the things that Jesus set in motion with his blood sacrifice. Say it loud with me. Ready? Jesus is Lord over what? Amen. Prove it, Pastor. Well, here with polio in the United States alone, 58,000 cases of polio in 1952. Those of you who were in the service last week, I covered a lot of this, but this is to reinforce the influence of Christ in health in the earth. We have more people like Christ that want to heal than we ever have in human history. Someone say amen. We have medical schools filled with people that want to heal people. Guess what? The devil doesn't want to heal anybody. So I don't know a doctor that's from the devil. Healing is not in his vernacular. So if somebody wants to heal, guess who they're inspired by? The Messiah. For the Bible calls him the great what? Physician. That's one of his names. Are you still here? Right on. But at that time, there were 21,000 were left with mild paralysis and disabled. Today, only 5 total cases of polio exist in the entire world. Someone say amen to that. And we know exactly where they are. They're in Syria. That's where they are. How about this? Guinea worms. I'm not going to get into what they are, but there were 3.5 million cases amongst children around the world in 1986. Today, there are only 22 cases and are altogether eradicated. Someone say amen. Read the scripture with me from Revelations. They shall neither what? To paraphrase, he's basically saying they will not die from starvation anymore. They will not die because of bacteria, dirty water, or not drinking water for them to have anymore. He says, guess what? They're also not going to be homeless anymore because they died of homelessness and danger, because they died of sickness, because they died of lack of food. In heaven, I'll take care of them. Everybody say, in heaven, Jesus takes care of them. But how many know it's our responsibility to take care of them here on earth? Jesus in heaven is the default button. Everybody say, the Lord is helping us do more. In 1820, the Earth's population was 1 billion, 82 million people. In 1820, the extreme poverty in the Earth was 1 billion, 22 million. 94% had no food and would die within 18 months. 94% of the Earth's population would die within 18 months of starvation in 1820. In 2015, the population has more than tripled, quadrupled, 7 times over. 7,250,000,000 people are on the earth in 2015. 706 million of them were suffering from extreme poverty and would die within 18 months. Meaning, say it with me, 91% have food. How did that happen? Somebody say, Jesus is Lord. Because suddenly we're prioritizing food and health. Why? Because it was an original idea? No, it came from Jesus. Jesus originated this idea, and he did it. What did he say to disciples? If you don't believe me because you respect me, then respect what I do. You can't tell somebody that's helping the desperate need that's not doing the right thing. It doesn't matter what religion they are. If they look like Jesus, they're behaving like Jesus. Someone say, amen. 9% of the world will die in 18 months of extreme poverty. At 2030, there will be 8,500,000,000 people on the earth. But based on the rate of change that we're experiencing right now, 0% of people will die in 18 months of extreme poverty. And just 13 years from now, we will eradicate extreme poverty. And the Lord said, greater things you would do. Somebody say, we're doing greater things. If you believe Jesus, give him a hand for that. Zero poverty. I'm still trying to wrap my head around that I could walk around Europe in the 1800s and one out of every 10 person I run into would have been fed. And the rest of us were going to die in 18 months. Think about that. And now think about where you live right now and say, hallelujah, I'm glad I'm alive right now. Amen. Praise the Lord. This is our kids at Feed My Starving Children, helping us bring that number to zero. There's Esther and Grace and her grandchildren. They're all there. There's my buddy Sydney and my wife Lynn and Ione. And they're all there preparing food at Feed My Starving Children. And that night, 17 more kids in the earth will be able to eat for an entire year because of what our children did. Say, Jesus is Lord. The word is the gospel, and the gospel means good news. Somebody say, that's good news. The Bible says that they were called Christians first at Antioch. And the reason why they were called Christians at Antioch, a Gentile city, was because they did things that Jesus had historically done. Up until this point, they had not been called Christians. But what you made the Christians uniquely challenging to the Roman Empire was not just because they were a special religious sect. What they did was that Christians had social programs. How many are still here? And the Christians were very popular because they would feed the poor. They would help the needs. And many Roman leaders would comment about these Christians amongst us. They're very good for our society. Until they became a threat to Nero. And when Nero burned down the city of Rome, who did he blame? The Christians. Because they were too popular. They weren't popular because they were running around saying, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. They were popular and they were a threat because they were doing good. Jesus was a threat because he was doing what? Good. Somebody say, praise the Lord. But you know what? If you do good today, you can be more of a blessing than you've ever been before. Amen. Your government might get with you and bless as well. Say, you're doing good. Let's get with them and do good. Hebrews says this, follow peace with all men. Everybody say all men. And holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. In other words, either if we don't follow peace with all people. I mean, those of you who like controversy, enjoy yourself. Okay, just enjoy yourself. You'll answer to God one day about all that wasted time. Controversies, conspiracy theories. Jesus asked him, who do men say that I am? Why? Because he wanted to hear all the conspiracy theories about him. Didn't you get that? Because everybody, Jesus is sitting right with them. They watched the dude heal people. And they still struggled until the last day whether he was the Messiah or not. It was only Peter that opened up and said it loud. And he said, blessed are you. Human nature is a weird thing. We're weird, guys, especially in the realm of understanding who God is and what he represents to us. So the deal is that the Bible instructs us there are things that you need to do to help the world see Jesus, to help the world identify who Jesus is. And he says you got to follow peace with everybody and holiness. Everyone say holiness. Holiness simply means purity of motivation. I mean, I don't want anybody to be killed. I don't want anybody to die. I don't want anybody to be hurt. My motivation is pure. Even if you're my enemy, my motivation is pure toward you. And that's why the Bible says, pray for your enemy, right? Forgive your enemy and do what? Pray for them. It's to help you to learn a different way of thinking about humanity. So your worst people in your lives, he's saying, deal with them, forgive them, and pray for them. Because if you do that, you will be holy. Someone say, I got purity of motivation toward everybody. I want everybody to be saved. I want everybody. I'm not sure you want that. Do you want it or not? Say, I want everybody to be blessed. Here's the deal, kids. Me, we all kids in here. From the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. The reason why I have you repeat things is because when you say it, it takes on a life form and creates a force in the earth, just like if you say too many negative things. So my job in here is not only to tell you something, to get you say something so you can put something in order even before you leave the house. I'm going to send peace out before my car. I'm going to send peace out before my family. I'm going to do it in Jesus' name. Say amen. So without which no man can see the Lord if we don't do this. Along with that, he says, see to it that no one misses the grace of God. So the girl down in Houston didn't miss the grace of God this week simply because someone cared. And she realized God's grace takes the form of help. Do you realize that people, when things go wrong, feel like they did something wrong? Do you realize that some misguided people may say, well, Houston may have had it coming. What must the sin in that area? That, how many know that's true, though? You know, that's crazy. But folks say it. Christian folks say it. You have that one a-coming. How did I have that one a-coming? Really? So my habits or the things I did wrong or, you know, that one too many that I did, that's what brought the hurricane? It's just like Christians that tell you when they're going through a bad day, hey, the devil's been chasing me all day. Really? What's he doing with the other 7 billion people on the face of the earth? Wow. You got up a little grumpy this morning and your checkbook's a little short and the devil's chasing you. First of all, the devil's not omnipresent. So if he's chasing you, everybody else is having a great day. Amen. What's wrong with that guy? Yeah, the devil chose him today. He won the devil lottery. He just dialed in his numbers. They came up 666. But I'm having a great day. How about you? Yeah. I hope you and the devil do okay. Tomorrow's another day. And the word does say, his mercies are new every morning. Let the church say, and that's the truth. Well, we think irregular things. And in the midst of trial and uncertainty, a young lady identified Christ. I couldn't get over the testimony. She's just testifying on CNN. That's always good. Testifying on CNN. Praise Jesus. More of that. But he says, if they don't see the grace of God, it will cause trouble. It can cause a bitter root to grow up and defile many. If we don't know how to reveal Jesus the right way, we may be defiling many. How many are still here? Great, great author here, Philip Yancey, Christian author. He was looking at Christian stereotypes, negative stereotypes he had. This is what he pointed out. He said in 1996, 85% of those with no religious affiliation still had a favorable opinion of Christians. However, only 16% right now have a favorable impression of people in this room. And we weren't, and so he says that we weren't doing the job of communicating the grace of God. Or we're not doing the job lifting up what Jesus is doing. Because the mystery of God is locked in the history of God. See, you walk out armed to tell anybody, wait a minute, no one in the earth dealt with healing and hunger like Jesus did. And the only way that you deal with it today is because Jesus set the principle in order. Someone say amen. Say, Jesus is Lord. In Newsweek magazine, it said this, forget the church and follow Jesus, because they begin to examine things that were happening amongst the millennials and how they were watching us and saying, what's with our parents? What's all these things that they're dealing with? Why do they grapple with things in such a negative way? And I begin to entertain it too. And I say, well, what are we doing? What's going on? Let's examine ourselves. When I examined us, I found that we struggle with the mystery of God and the practice of God. Everybody say mystery and practice. George Carlin said this. Hey, George Carlin joke. Here we go. Tell people there's an invisible man in the sky who created the universe, and the vast majority of them will believe you. Tell them that the paint is wet, and they have to touch it to be sure. Everybody say human nature. Everybody say mystery. Everybody say practice. You know what? Truth comes from very unusual places. Even George Carlin. Amen. But you need balance. Look up somebody and say, you need balance. You need balance. You need balance between the history and the practice. The history and the practice. Now here's the history of God. There's the mystery of God. Here we go. Deuteronomy 23:14. Lovely, mysterious scripture. For the Lord thy God walketh in the midst of your camp. Hallelujah. Let the church say amen. The Lord is walking in the midst of our camp. Oh, the Lord is here. Everybody get Holy Ghost filled. The Lord is here. The Lord is walking into the midst of our camp to deliver me. Hallelujah. To give my enemies to me. Amen. Therefore shall your camp be holy. Somebody say, keep the camp holy. Oh, hallelujah, that the Lord might not see any unclean thing. Hallelujah, amen. Praise the Lord. Lord, revive us, make us right, clean us up, Lord. Get all those habits out of my life. Oh, Lord, help me. I want you in the midst of us. Amen. Woo, just mysterious, isn't it? Make you want to shout. Until you read the scripture before that. The scripture before that says this. When you take a dump, let me say it again, because in the other room I did this in, everybody laughed. When you take a dump, take the dump outside of the camp. Take a shovel with you, dig a hole, create your own personal sanitation system, then wait the rest of the day. Then come back into the camp. Why? For the Lord thy God walks in the midst of thee. How many are digging it? To deliver thee and to give you your what? Your enemy. Now, if you don't have sanitation this morning, which many people in Houston don't have because of floodwaters, we got to get them good water. You got to clean the system out of all the water that's going in, the excess water. But without it, what can happen? Just say, disease. Everybody say it, disease. And listen, Johnny, Chemo Johnny here will tell you, disease is my enemy. Don't want any part of it. Don't want it in my life. So I'm radical about it. I'm militant about it. You tell me it's there, I'm fighting. It's just the way it is. Jesus, here we go. That's what time it is. Here we go. He wants to keep disease away from you. But because these were simple Iron Age people who did not know that there were microorganisms and that there was even a such thing as bacteria, and they would not uncover that mystery for yet another 4,000 years, he simply said to the simpletons, listen, take it out there and you won't spread the disease. Amen. For the Lord your God is holy. He's pure in motivation towards you. My motivation for you is to live and not to die. My motivation for you is not to be sick, but to be healthy. Someone say amen. My motivation is for you to be educated and smart, not to be ignorant. Hallelujah. That should make you excited that God would give you personal intelligence before you were intelligent and tell you how to live. Someone say amen to that. Hallelujah. Mystery solved. Do you realize that you have sanitation systems today because God from heaven to earth talked with Moses and began to dialogue with him about the enemies around you that you cannot see. I had Christians all the time, they think of the enemy as like a spirit demon chasing you. No, man, your spirit demon may be you not washing your hands. It'll do more damage to you than that one you keep praying about. Somebody say amen to that. Or a steady diet of McDonald's. Now, McDonald's are bad. Every now and then have some McDonald's. But how about I am holy and you are holy and only have McDonald's once every 2 weeks? Amen. How many are still here with me? Praise God. Your human population around you need to hear about this Jesus. They need to know that before they thought they had it figured out, God figured it out for you, and as long as you obeyed it, it would give you time to figure it out along the way. Some of you this morning have mysteries in your own personal life that you don't know how you're going to solve. You don't even know how you got this far when you really reflect on it. It should have collapsed before. My personal economy should have collapsed last year, or my body should have given up last year, or what mystery is God ready to reveal to you and give you instructions on how to be healed, how to be educated, how to be wise, how to look for Jesus in all the right places. Let's stand on our feet. That makes you want to shout, hallelujah, for sanitation and the bathroom. And running water, yeah. See that? You think that's funny, right? But your problem is you should be singing that because the church has forgotten what God really did for the earth. We'd be backwards and awkward, not civilized, socially awkward, communally awkward. We would have been wiped off the face of the earth long before now if God did not have some believers that would take a few nuggets of truth that they might not have understood. But he said, just do it and you will be well. How many have had to do things that you were instructed to do and didn't completely understand it? Right. Military people say amen right on. Everybody remembers when they were a kid just because I said so, right? Right. But I'm getting phone calls from adult children all the time that are having epiphanies. And they call me up and say, man, really? Yeah, man. Now, you know, I was moving around your bedroom and I didn't want that mess in your bedroom because I wanted you to be holy as I am holy. And I told you all those things because I want you to be blessed. I don't want you to die. I want you to live. I want you to be successful. I want you to have all your days, all your years, all your moments, all your time. I want you to have the ability if something goes wrong, you know how to get out there and make it right. Amen. I want you to have the ability to recover when it breaks down. So, hallelujah. I want you to have the tools to fix it when it breaks down. Someone say amen. And that's what the Lord has given you today. And you're doing things that you don't even know why you're doing it, but it's going to contribute to your success in the future. The Hebrew people are billionaires and billionaires and billionaires today simply because of the Levitical law and the wisdom that they received from the Levitical law. And then later on, uncover the mystery of why God said so. Open our eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. Lord, I want these words, and there's more to come, because, Lord, I want to lift you so high. I want to make the world around me ashamed that they ever doubted that you existed. But I have to be clever, and I have to be educated, and I have to study the word and show myself approved, and I have to think outside the box, and I have to go rediscover you in a different way. I have to be childlike, and Lord, even for our own personal lives, how can we be childlike and know what to do. Those of you who are solving the mystery in your own personal life, lift your hand up. Amen. Pastor, I'm solving the mystery now. I'm going to solve it. Praise God. But the truth is that while it's still a mystery, God is sustaining you with your obedience. So if you don't understand why you should bring the tithe into the storehouse, just do it. And God will sustain you until you understand why. Right on. Whew. Praise God. Say this with me. I believe Jesus is the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, lived a sinless life. I believe Jesus made a decision out of love and obedience. He went to the cross and he died for all humanity. I believe that on the third day, the Father in heaven brought him back to life again. I believe that same Spirit that raised Christ from the grave now lives in me, empowering me to do the good, acceptable, and perfect will of my Father in heaven. I have options. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's acceptable. Sometimes it's perfect. But it's always Jesus, and it's always grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, let the church say, give God praise. Amen. Go to the world and preach the gospel. Tell them the truth, and the truth will set them free. Go for it. Amen.